leg, which was wrapped knee to ankle in a bloody cloth which oozed crimson onto my boot, and it penetrated my clouded senses that I'd been wounded. The air was crackling with small arms fire, thunder was rumbling overhead, the rain was pelting harder than ever, and as Theodore turned from looking down the hill and strode past us without a word, tossing aside his rifle in the second gateway, I looked down the hill myself and saw a sight which I can see still, clear as day, 40 years on. Only a stone's throw below us, the Ab musketeers were falling back from the wall, and above the parapet, a flag was fluttering in the fierce wind, a little way to the left of the gate. At first, I thought it must be some banner of Theodore's, but then there were helmets and khaki tunics either side of it, and now they were tumbling over the wall, and the flag was being flourished from side to side as the fellow carrying it was boosted up bodily by his mates to stand on the top. That was when I saw it was a regimental colour. And here they came, a regular flood of riflemen, whooping and cheering like billio, charging the Ab musketeers who fairly ran before them. Khaki tunics and white robes were struggling in the gateway, bayonets against spears and clubbed firearms on both sides. Khaki was winning, and as the Abs were driven back, some of our fellows were tearing aside the piled stones from the gates, which were thrust wide to admit a crowd of cheering attackers, sappers and pioneers, and a great mob of Irish of the Dukes. They chased the Abs along the wall, and spears and swords and muskets were being flung aside as their owners threw up their arms in surrender. A few of the hardier spirits were running up the rocky path towards us, turning to fire a last shot at our fellows, and getting a fusillade in return. Shots sang above us and splintered the rocks around us, and Wald Gabry ran from my side, seized Theodore's fallen rifle, and thrust the butt into my left armpit.
"Tenizou, Dejas! Tenizou! Up, up for our lives!"
Sound notion, and if you think it's agony to run hobbling with a splinter of steel buried in your calf muscle, you're right. But it's wonderful what you can do when Snyder slugs are buzzing about your ears. I knew better than to try to identify myself in the heat of battle. With my improvised crutch going and Wald Gabre holding me up t'other side, I lurched through the gate, screaming at every step, and ahead of us Ab civilians were scattering up the slope, mothers with chicos, old folk and striplings, all frantic to escape the murderous struggle behind us. 10 yards ahead, there was a great bale of forage bound with cords, 6 foot square, and a capital place to go to ground, for my leg was giving out, leaking blood like a tap. My improvised crutch slipped from my grasp, and I lunged at the bale and grabbed it to save myself, pitching headlong. I hauled myself round the bale by its cords, so that it was between me and the mischief behind, but lost my hold and fell on all fours, being damn noisy about it too, for my leg was giving me jip. Wald Gabry sprawled beside me, and then strong hands seized my arms and hauled me up, yelping. It was Theodore, gripping me under the shoulders and gently easing me into a sitting position, with my back to the bale.
"Be still."
He was breathing hard.
"Go, good and faithful servant," says he to Wald Gabry. "God prosper you, and have you in his keeping."
The lad hesitated, and Theodore laughed and slapped him on the arm.
"Go, I say. Get you to Tigre again. Take a king's thanks and blessing. Farewell, gun-bearer."
Wald Gabry turned and ran, and Theodore watched him disappear among the huts. Then he looked past the bale towards the second gate, still breathless and rubbing the rain from his face. The plain chamois over his shoulders was wringing wet and clinging to him. The firing behind had slackened, but there was a distant shouting of orders followed by a ragged cheer. He closed his eyes for a moment and sighed before he spoke. And these were his words, and mine, on that rainy afternoon on Magdala Height. "Theodore,
I shall never go to Jerusalem now. There will be no 10th Crusade."
Draws pistol, offers it butt first.
"Suicide is an abomination in God's sight, a sin not to be forgiven. Oh, friend, will you do a last kindness to your enemy?"
Flashy. "Don't be a bloody ass. Throw it away, man. They ain't coming to kill you. Put up your hands and give in, can't you? It's all up, damn it." Theodore.
"You will not. Do I ask too much, then? So be it. Perhaps God, who marks the fall of humble sparrows and proud kings, will forgive even this in his infinite mercy.
Flashy. God don't give a tuppenny damn one way or t'other. Give over, you crazy bastard.